Morning, everyone. Haven't greeted all of you. Yeah, such a wonderful occasion, eh? Yeah, celebrating Jesus on the cross. Yeah, the topic of my sermon this morning is taking up your cross. And yeah, we've just celebrated what Jesus did for us on the cross. Just an awesome deed. And just a reminder of this day, or what he did. And remembering that we are joined together, and the work that Christ has done in our lives, is such a wonderful occasion. We join together, we're walking with him. He's promised all those things, we've died to ourselves. We now join to him, we can walk with him in victory. Resurrection's coming on Sunday. That's the good news. So from that position, we all know that in salvation, we are all joined and redeemed to him. And so the next question we have, he actually asked them before, he asked his disciples before his crucifixion, because he knew what was coming. But we're just so grateful for Jesus' obedience, you know, to walk all that way. So I want to start with a scripture in Luke 9, verse 21 to 25. So there's three things I want to talk about today, is taking up your cross, obedience and sanctification, and love at the end. So I want to start with Luke 9. It's all in the New King James, verse 21. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" So that's such an easy prayer we have sometimes, or proclaim, "Take up your cross and follow me." Do we really know what it means to take up our cross? What Jesus went through? We know what the cross did for us. We are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We're cleansed. We've just celebrated that. Our identity changes. We're reborn. In baptism and the cross, all of the cross does that for us. We're reborn, we get a new identity, we become children of God. And becoming children of God, he says, take up your cross daily. Okay, so what that also means, taking up your cross. What did Christ do, taking up his cross? And there was a lot of suffering in that. He went through a lot of suffering. And abuse. And we tend to stop there and not go further to the dying part. We actually died. So, yeah. So it's not always about the suffering we have to go through. It goes a step further to the dying part. We actually died for us. Okay, so yeah, in this life we will have suffering. That's what the word says. But then he died for us. So how do we die? I mean, we are going to all die one day, physically. But what is taking up your cross is more a death in yourself. In who you are. Jesus died in who he was. He was the king. He could have stopped it. He had all the authority. But he died to that. He died to his position of who he was. So that's what we, how do we need to die in ourselves? Pride, self-righteous. There was nothing like that in Jesus when he walked that road. There was no pride. There was no self-righteousness. He was walking in obedience only because the Father told him that's the way. And we love to, in this modern church history, we love to race to the resurrection. And we love to claim the resurrection power. You know, I'm an overcomer and all the plans the Lord has for us. And nothing of that is wrong. It's all true. It's the word. And that's the plans that the Lord has for us. And we tend to run to that straight without being prepared to walking the road of the cross. The only way Jesus came to the resurrection is by dying. And how much are we dying in ourselves to reach resurrection? And we sometimes race through the resurrection power and claiming that for ourselves and trying to walk in that, and it's not working because we haven't died to ourselves. We're living our self-righteous lives. We're living our pride. We're living our own rights, our human rights. It's my right. And I want to live in that resurrection power, and it's not working for me because I haven't died. Christ wouldn't have been resurrected if he hadn't died. And we must remember that. So that's the problem with our instant world, eh? Yeah, you pull into the takeaway and order. You don't even have to get out the car anymore. You just drive through and you order your meal and you go. And a lot of our Christianity has become that. You know, we just want to order that resurrection and go. We're not prepared to die before that. So the next scripture Rory actually shared as well. You didn't know I'm going to share it. So that's Philippians 2 verse 5 to 11. The humbled and exalted Christ is the heading in my Bible. So let's read from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Okay? That's what he became. To the point of death, even the death on the cross. And therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, as those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I want to point out, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And I've mentioned that 2 weeks ago as well. I'm so grateful. We're so grateful that Jesus was obedient. Otherwise, we would have been lost. It was because of his obedience in every step that he came to that point. Right, so, and the next scripture I want to move to is the Hebrews 10 verse 11. The heading in my word is Christ's death perfects the sanctified. So remembering that we're saved by the death of the cross, and we've got a new identity we carry. In 1 Peter it says we a royal priesthood and a holy nation. That's how we become suddenly. But remembering that we don't feel like that, because now we have to start growing. But we have a new identity, but we've still got our old nature that we have to deal with. So in verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly by the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So we are being sanctified till the day we physically die. Okay? But out of the position that we are justified, Jesus has paid, and we're in the process of being sanctified. And that whole process of sanctification requires dying. There's a big dying pattern that needs to happen within ourselves. Laying down, surrendering is exactly what Jesus did. Repenting and confessing sins, turning around your life, is a form of dying. And sometimes it feels like you're going to die, because you feel you can't do this. For you, those of you who had need to repent of certain things, sometimes a very hard thing to do. It feels like I'm going to die if I have to do this. But that's what the Lord wants. Otherwise, there's no resurrection after that. And to get to that place, you're going to face like a death in yourself. You're going to have to lay down pride. You're going to have to lay down your self-righteousness. Whatever's blocking you to die in yourself, you're going to get to that point. I'm going to use the example, in a marriage. For those that have not been married, it's lying ahead of you. So when we got married, I thought, after a while, my wife was doing everything wrong. I don't know what was wrong with her. That's not what I signed up for. And I don't know how she felt about me. I thought I was the perfect guy. Soon to realize that, no, there's certain things that I have to change in my life, because we're not all perfect. Then I realized, no, I have to change. I'm not the guy I thought I was. Because my wife's exposing it in me. We're exposing it in each other. And that's exactly what happens when we join together with Christ. We start joining together, and suddenly the Holy Spirit starts pointing things out in your life. All the little flaws, all the little character traits that's not there. First of all, sin. He deals with the sin. It's so exposed. You lay down your sin, and then he starts sanctifying. He starts building. And like in a marriage, you start building. You're building, and you change. And to this day, I still have to change things in my life. We celebrated 38 years. And there's still things I have to repent of, that I had to repent of this week. Because there's things that constantly needs to change. And that's how Christ sanctifies in us. And the danger is when we get to a point where you think you're perfect, then you're not. It's a very dangerous place. So he went to the point of death. And it wasn't easy for him. It was not easy. And I'm going to go to the next scripture and to focus more on the death, the actual death of Christ. Okay? And how he was not looking forward to it. Matthew 26, verse 37 to 39. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will." But he was exceedingly sorrowful because he knew what's coming. And it was hectic. It must have been terrible for Jesus to feel that, to come to that point. And he did it for us. He did it for us. For him to feel like that. And even on the cross, when there was that moment where for the first time he was separated from God. It was like, "I don't know where my Father is." The whole time he's been walking with the Lord, with the Father. And he came to that point. And he knew he's separated. But he still walked that walk. He was just walking in obedience. And how many times do we, when we walk in our Christian walk, we don't feel the presence of the Lord? We think he's far away, he's not here, he's not there. How many times are we remaining obedient in that walk? That's a test for us. To remain obedient, even if you don't feel the presence of the Lord. And that's where it tests us. It tests our obedience when he withdraws his presence or when we withdraw from him. He's always there. So whatever we do, we feel away, far away from God. And our human nature is, you know, we blame God and we blame this guy and that guy. And we forget obedience flies out of the window. But we are required to just keep on walking in obedience. We walk on our previous promises, what God has made us, our new identity, what we are in Christ. So we need to just keep on walking in obedience. And that then that moment of death, we read that moment of death when he finally died. We all know what happened. The veil was torn. There was an earthquake. There was darkness for 3 hours. And that's how powerful the death was for us. And sometimes dying in yourself, we don't realize the power of dying in yourselves. We must remember what happened to Jesus when he died. So the moment we die in ourselves, die of something that's hindering us, there's a powerful thing that happens in the spirit. It's so powerful that there's a resurrection after that. But it's so hard, but it's so powerful. There's an earthquake. The earth, you know, in the heavens, the enemy doesn't like that. He does not like that. The moment we die in ourselves, the enemy hates that because he knows we're doing it for Christ. We're doing it for him. And then the veil is torn. And yeah, as we shared earlier, it's such a privilege for the death, what happened for that veil, because it opened up the pathway to the Father to have that relationship with him. So we read in Hebrews 10, from verse 19, Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So to stir up love and good works, but you know, he made that way through the veil so that we can enter boldly. And yes, it's difficult to die, but we know the veil is open and there's resurrection coming. And we're looking forward to Sunday for the resurrection. So the veil is open and we can enter boldly. Our conscience is cleared. The price is paid. It's cleansed us. It's laid down. We've died in ourselves. And we can enter boldly. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So I want to move on to the love. Remembering that God from creation created man to love him. He loved the nations. He loved Israel, Israelites. He did so much for them. It's because of he loved them he created the law, because he wanted to protect them. And they couldn't hold it. They had to. Then he put systems in place. But it was love. And we know John 3:16. You know, he loved the world to save us. He loved everyone. And it's from that picture of love that Jesus came to the cross as well. It's not about our sins only. It's because he loved us first. And he realized he needs to redeem us. So, okay, I'm going to forgive your sins as well. And I love you so much that Jesus is going to die because I want to have a relationship with you. His desire is to have that relationship with us. But are we prepared to die for that relationship? He's died. Are we prepared to die for that relationship? In 1 Peter 4 verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. To love one another is a sacrifice. It's not a feeling. We know that by now. Yeah, when we're in love, when you meet your wife and your lovebird or whatever, they are feelings that you can't really choose, but then after a while, you realize that, okay, those feelings fade away a bit, and then you have to start choosing to love. And then there's a sacrifice in love. So to love our neighbor, we can't rely on our feelings. We have to sacrificially love. You have to lay down something inside of yourself and decide, I'm going to love this person. Does that make sense? Because I don't always feel loving people, just loving. It's nice to be kind. Loving is a verb. It's a doing word. So there's also a dying. There's a sacrifice in loving. And that's what the Lord did. He sacrificed his son. Because he loved us. So in Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. So that's who he is. Because he loved us, he gave himself to us. And who are we to justify our own actions? Who are we to claim my right? The only way you can claim your right is if someone forces you to sin. You can stand on the truth. Then you can claim, but you're claiming the right of God. So God is also, we know we are the bride. And God is preparing his bride. He's preparing us. And that's a road of sanctification. He's coming back for a pure bride. Remember what I shared 2 weeks ago about the marriage thing, where the bride goes away and prepares herself. Because she doesn't know the day the groom's going to come and fetch her. As we don't know which day Jesus is coming, we have to be prepared. And there's a sacrifice involved. But Christ has done it for us on the cross. There's a death to ourselves. He's in the grave and he knew he's going to rise. What a moment. He didn't just die to save us. He died to be in a relationship with us. And that's what I want to encourage today. Is he's in a relationship. He strongly desires just to be in a relationship with us because of his love. And to encourage you that death is hard. Death is hard. Walking that obedient road of dying to oneself in this road of sanctification. We're looking ahead to Sunday because there's good news on Sunday. There is good news. There is resurrection and it's coming. So in your suffering and in your heart to dying, there's hope. There's hope ahead. Remembering that he's forgiven your sins, that you are cleansed, you are forgiven. But you just walk this road because you know who you are. You are the child of God. Christ has died for you. And out of that position, I can die to myself because I know I'm going to be resurrected. Resurrected. There is going to be salvation. I am going to overcome. I am going to overcome. Every time you overcome, because our flesh is fighting with us. So I want to encourage you with that. Amen. I would like to pray a prayer. And it's actually a song that I want to pray for you. It's such a beautiful song. A lot of you will know the song, How Deep the Father's Love. Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a rich his treasure. How great the pain and searing loss, the Father turns his face away, that moment of separation, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. Yeah, as we celebrated your cross, Lord, where you've given your life for us, Father. And going into the rest of the weekend, we just want to ponder on that, Lord, of that awesome deed, Lord, knowing that the hope is set before us. And let us all consider ourselves as we go from here. Let us consider our ways of thinking, Father, and reflect on our inner life, and that you are busy building and sanctifying, busy cleansing, changing our character, Lord. You want to bring many sons to glory. You want to come back for a pure bride and be part of that, Lord. And let us be intentional. I pray, Lord, that we would be intentional in changing, in cleansing us, in sanctifying, Father. Let us not be blinded by the things of this world, Father. But let us see through your heart, Father. It's not just about us. It's all about you and how you want to change us and purify us, making us sons of glory, sons and daughters of glory. You want to come back for that bride. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience, for walking that road of obedience from beginning to end, so that we could be made new. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.